My gym is open today. In fact, I'm going to go for a 2 o'clock class. Oh, cool, the dad said. You can take me there. Son responded, I'm leaving at 1, so be ready. Dad said, but you said 2 o'clock. The son said, the class is at 2. I walk there so I can give myself an hour. Can't we drive? The dad responded, I like the walk. And the dad said, I don't want to walk. That sounds like a lot of work. And the son replied, I don't think you're going to like the gym then, Dad. I can understand the dad's point. If you're going to do cardio, you want to make sure that you have enough energy to make it home. And if you do it right, I don't think you will. So you probably should drive. 2 weeks ago, I shared about making some changes this year that will help us to draw closer to God. And instead of making New Year's resolutions to eat better and to exercise more, we should make decisions that will help us to draw closer to God this year. Every year, as January rolls around, a lot of us will do self-reflection. We'll look inward and we'll take a good look at ourselves in the mirror and ask ourselves, how am I doing? Am I doing okay? Am I healthy? And when we talk about health, most of the time we think about our physical health. You know, is my weight where it should be? And I think because of all the treats and the delicious meals that we have in November and December, doctors shouldn't allow us to be weighed until March. You know, you have Thanksgiving, you have Christmas, you have all those treats and desserts. There's just a lot of good meals there, right? So we should be allowed another 2 months to try to recoup and respond and get back in step before we have to step on that scale again. And so when the question of health gets brought up, we tend to think about our weight. Is our cholesterol where it should be? Or how am I feeling after recovering from the flu? Or with the holidays and all the winters here in Michigan, we don't see the sun until May. Maybe we begin to think about our mental health. Am I depressed? Am I anxious? Am I sad? And for most of us, when the question, are you healthy, is asked, we really do think about our physical or mental well-being, which is important. But the question I want to ask today is, how are you doing with your spiritual health? When we look at the Bible, it's very clear that God wants us to be healthy in our bodies. He wants us to be mentally healthy as well. But he also wants to be spiritually healthy. And so will you stand with me this morning out of respect for reading the Word of God? It's found in 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 23. It says, I pray that God who gives peace will make you completely holy, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept healthy and faultless until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. Then the one who chose you can be trusted, and he will do this. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you. I thank you for what you want to do in our lives. God, you want us to be healthy, not just in our body, not just in our soul, but in our spirit as well. And so I ask right now, may your word come alive to us today. And God, may we take what you want. May we receive all that you have for us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. God created us with a body, a soul, and a spirit. And I want you to think of it as a three-legged stool. We have our physical bodies. That's what you see. That's what you can feel. And in a few minutes, you're going to go to a restaurant, and you're going to eat a delicious meal and fill that tummy up. Yes, God created us with a body. He created us with a soul and represents our being, our emotions, our personality, our intellect. And God created us with a spirit that connects us with God. That's where the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And so we should try to keep all three in balance and in health.
We should take care of our physical bodies. We should prioritize our health. We should eat balanced meals, take our vitamins, see doctors, keep our bodies healthy. We should also try to keep our minds healthy. And one of the good things that came about from COVID is that there's now this more awareness and emphasis on our mental health, taking good care of yourself. And so instead of allowing our thoughts to take control of our lives, we should hand over our anxious thoughts, our worries to God and trust Him that He will fill us with His peace. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, it says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." It's a lot easier to read that than to live it sometimes. Don't worry about anything, but instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And then the third leg of that stool is our spiritual health. Each of these three are important, and they require us to give attention to them. And if one of these areas in our life is neglected, just like if we took off one of the legs on that stool will not be able to stand up. It'll collapse, it'll fall over. In the same way, we will become unbalanced and find ourselves living an unhealthy life and missing out on living what God wants to do for our life. See, you can be mentally fit and spiritually healthy, but if you go and you eat McDonald's for breakfast, and then you stop at a gas station and get a hot dog for lunch, and then eat Taco Bell for dinner, you're not gonna be physically healthy. Just like you can be physically fit and exercise daily and be mentally strong, but if you neglect your relationship with God, you're going to find yourself spiritually dead. God's desire is for us to be healthy in all three areas of our life. In 3 John 1, 2, it says, "Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit." God wants us to be healthy in our bodies, but He wants us to be strong in our spirit as well. If that's God's desire for us, that He doesn't want us just to be physically healthy, but we're to be spiritually healthy as well, then I want to share with you this morning some things that will help us to be spiritually strong. Number one, accept God's identity for you. Have you ever taken a personality quiz? You see them all the time in the magazines. It seems like every magazine has one, and some of them have gotten pretty strange. I looked some up, and you could take a quiz to see what kind of animal you are most like. You can take another quiz to find out what kind of forest you are most like. Not sure. You can take another one and see what kind of celebrity you're most like. And I don't know how they figure out what kind of forest you're most like. I really don't. I wouldn't take any one of those quizzes. See, you can find your personality tests and assessments everywhere you look. And some assessments, they are helpful. If you're trying to find a career and want to know what to do in life and what works with your personality, then some of those assessments are great. But I really don't have to take this personality quiz to figure out who I am. Often we look at our jobs and careers, and they go hand in hand with one another. And yet the problem comes when out of nowhere you are let go at your job. Things change. And if you base your identity on things like success, wealth, power, physical appearance, you're setting yourself up for a great disappointment. If your identity is in your career, what happens when you're let go? What happens when you stop working? If you look for your identity in your appearance, the problem is you're going to find yourself aging. And that eventually you will not be in your 20s any longer. Timothy Keller said this, "Our need for worth is so powerful that whatever we base our identity and value on, we essentially deify. We will look to it with all the passion and intensity of worship and devotion, even if we think ourselves as highly irreligious." Our identity comes from Christ, not in anything this world has to offer. Who you are in many ways will determine how you're going to live your life. And so it's important that we define who we are based on who God is and what he said about us. In John 1:12, it says, "To all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." And so to understand that our identity is found in Christ, we need to understand that just how God sees us. God loves you. He cares about you. And when you put your faith in Christ, he adopts you, and you are now his children. When we put our trust in Jesus, God accepts us into his family. We are his. Our identity is now found in Christ. But God doesn't want us to just stay where we're at. He wants to continually transform us into Christ's image. And so second, we need to grow in godly character. In order to live a spiritually healthy life, there are some godly character traits that we need to put on. But that also means that we're going to have to remove or take off some of the old character traits as well, so that we can begin to walk in these godly character traits that God has for us. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says this in the Message translation. It says, "Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you." I don't know about you, but I'm not a fan of shopping. I'm not a fan of clothes shopping. I walk into a mall, and the moment my foot steps onto that property, all the energy that I have just drains my body. I found, though, if you put food in my hand while I'm walking through, it seems to help. All right? That's one of the nice things about Target. You can stop and get that little bag of popcorn, and you're just walking and eating. It seems to help a little bit. But I'm not a fan of shopping. I'd rather buy clothes online. But there's a problem when you purchase things online, especially clothes. You're not able to see if the clothes fit. You're not able to see how it looks on you before you buy it. But when you go into a department store, you're able to try on those clothes. You can see if that shirt looks good on you in that mirror. But here's the thing. You wouldn't try on a new shirt on top of your old shirt. That wouldn't make sense. Just like you wouldn't wear your old shirt underneath your new shirt to go out and hang out with your friends. I'm not a fashionista. I just don't think that would be right, though. I don't think you're supposed to do that. You take off that old shirt. You maybe even have to throw it away because it's that old. And you begin to wear the new one. In Colossians 3:12, it says, "Since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." And so when we invite Jesus into our life, he wants us to get rid of that old life, those old things, and put on the new godly character that he has for us. And so we should put on mercy. We should reflect God's gentle care towards us by being compassionate towards others and helping take care of others' needs as well. We should put on kindness. We should show tender concern towards other people. We should reflect God's character. We should put on humility. We should recognize our total dependence upon God and live selflessly. We should put on gentleness. We should show restraint by being understanding and patient. And we should put on patience. We should wait for God's timing without complaining. And that's difficult. These godly traits aren't things that we're actually naturally able to do. If you sit in a traffic jam and you watch that semi try to cut right in front of you, you're not going to be too patient. Or as you sit there and you watch all those people begin to just drive on the shoulder of the road, speeding by, because they want to get ahead of everybody. That can be a little frustrating. That can be frustrating. You can all of a sudden lose your patience. See, I can't do it on my own. I can't demonstrate patience without God's help. I need God's help in my life. And yet, he doesn't just give it to you one time. He doesn't just say, here's patience, and now you have it the rest of your life. That would be wonderful if only it worked that way, but it doesn't. We have to keep going back to God. Keep asking God to help us, to fill us, to strengthen us. And as we go back to him, he begins to put it back on us and help us. Ella, she's playing soccer for two different teams right now, and both of her games are on Saturday mornings. And last week, she came home from one of her games, and she was still wearing her old jersey and first game, and it was getting close to time for her to leave for her next game. And so I asked her, I said, you're not wearing that jersey to your next game, are you? I don't think your teammates will appreciate you wearing that jersey. And she said, no, I just haven't changed yet. And then shortly after, she went and she took off her old jersey and put on her new one. See, the same is true for us. God wants us to take off our old way of living, our old selfish characteristics, and put on the new godly ones that he has for us so that we can reflect Christ-like behavior and live the way he wants us to each and every day. And then third, let God's peace rule your heart. There was a wealthy man who was willing to pay a small fortune to an artist who could best illustrate the presence of peace. And so several artists brought paintings of sunsets and quiet meadows, but the man didn't accept any of them. And then one day, as he was looking at some new paintings, two of them captured his attention. One painting was a beautiful, calm lake surrounded by lush green mountains. The water was as still as glass with wispy white clouds and the bright blue sky. The other painting was extremely different. It was a painting of a lake surrounded by mountains, but the strong winds had whipped the lake into a tempest. And the dark clouds hovered above the rugged mountain landscape, ready to release a torrential rain. Shockingly, the man had selected the second painting with the stormy scene. And he explained this. He said, the first painting was beautiful and peaceful, but it didn't tell the truth of where peace could be found. Anyone could feel peace upon a crystal clear lake with white clouds drifting across the sky and a breeze blowing across the water. Doesn't that sound good right now? Then he pointed to the second painting and said, if you look closely into the mountains, there is a waterfall, and tucked into the crevice of that mountain near the waterfall is a small nest where a mother bird sits on her tiny blue eggs. This second painting is a picture of true perfect peace. Because in the storms of life, we find real peace tucked into the side of God, knowing his presence will guard and protect us even in the midst of the world's storms. See, God's peace should rule our lives. His peace should guide the decisions that we make over our families, over our jobs, over every aspect of our life. And when we allow God's peace to rule our heart, it will calm our fears. It will lower anxiety. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace." When we surrender our life to God, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. He empowers us to live a life filled with peace. And God doesn't want us to live in fear. He doesn't want us to be anxious and go about our day just worrying, because that's not from Him. He gives us the power to be calm, to have strength, to be filled with love, to have a disciplined thought life, so that we can overcome fear and any challenges that come our way. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "God did not give us a spirit that makes us afraid, but a spirit of power and love and self-control." And so how can we allow God to rule our life? By living a life that's surrendered to God. Live a life that's surrendered to God. Allow God to lead your entire life. Carrie Underwood sang the song, "Jesus, Take the Wheel." And too often, we ask Jesus, "Jesus, lead my life, take the wheel, be in control." But then all of a sudden, there's something that we don't like, and we take it back from Him. When we surrender everything to Him, we give it to Him, we trust Him, we let Him be in charge, and then trust that God's plan for my life is better than my plan. God wants the very best for you. He wants to give you good things. And all good things that we have come from God. And if God created us, and if we trust in Him, then shouldn't we trust that God knows what's best for us? And James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father, who created all the lights in the heavens." God wants what's best for you. And when we trust Him, when we trust that He knows what He's doing, He'll take care of us. And we'll understand that everything that we have, everything in our life, our family, our spouse, our children, our homes, our careers, all these things are good gifts that God has given us and has blessed us with. And then live a life that chooses peace over conflict. See, it's easy to get into a disagreement and have conflict with someone else. You may have gotten into a disagreement getting ready and coming to church this morning. We find ourselves all the time arguing with people. And there's some people that just like to argue. They like strife. But God says, choose to live at peace with others. Romans 12:18 says, "Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone." And so when we choose to live in peace, we're choosing to allow Christ to rule our hearts. And then finally, magnify God with your life. A couple of years ago, I went in for an eye appointment just to get my vision tested. And they did all the normal tests. They blew the puff of air into my eyes. They had one eye and read a line and then close the other line or eye and read the other line. And then at the end of the test, the doctor said, "You know what? You have perfect eyesight." And then he said these three words, "For your age." I was like, can I just say I have perfect eyesight? Right? And he said that I needed reading glasses. And so it was getting a little bit harder to read that small print in my Bible, and so that's why I went in to just have it tested. And it was amazing. Once I got those reading glasses and put them on, that tiny little print was now easy to read. Those glasses helped magnify those letters, letting me be able to read the Word of God a whole lot easier. Have you ever played with magnifying glass? Hopefully it wasn't to set leaves on fire or to burn ants. But the great detective Sherlock Holmes, he'd use a magnifying glass. And he'd look for clues that you normally wouldn't be able to see with your own eyes. And that magnifying glass would allow it to focus on details that are too small for your eye to see. Psalm 70, verse 4 says, "Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified." Our lives should magnify Jesus. Everything that we do, our words, our actions, our relationships, when we're at work, we should be magnifying Jesus. If you've ever seen the movie Chariots of Fire, you know about the story of Eric Little. He became famous for competing in the 1924 Paris Olympics. And he refused to run the 100-meter heat because they had scheduled it to be on a Sunday. And so instead, he decided to run the 400. And there he placed gold and set a world record. And in the movie, Eric says this. He says, "I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." See, Eric felt that when he ran, it was an expression of his faith. It was a way for him to honor God with the speed that God had given him. And when he did what he felt God had called him to do, he sensed God's pleasure. As passionate followers of Christ, we should feel the same way. That everything we do, whether it's going to school and doing our homework, whether it's working on a project, or when your boss gives you another assignment, or you're trying to raise your children, whatever it is, everything we do, we should do to the best of our ability when we do it. And when we do, we'll sense God's pleasure. Because we're giving our all for him. When we make goals to get healthy, it's usually, if I can just slim down to this certain size, or if I can get to this weight, then that will be good and I'll be healthy. And while having that goal is great, the real goal of being healthy isn't about reaching a number. It's about living a healthy lifestyle. And the goal for living spiritually healthy, it's not about a checklist. It's not about reading your Bible in a year or anything else like that. It's about experiencing God's presence and bringing him closer to your life, living for him, and bringing honor and joy with all that you do to him. See, your life will only magnify what's truly important to you. When you sit down with someone that you're trying to get to know, you can talk to them for 10 minutes, and in that time, if you're really paying attention, you will find out what matters to them. To those that live a physical, healthy life, they will let you know. We had a mom of one of our students in Dayton. She lived a healthy lifestyle. She would wake up super early in the morning. She would run, and then she would swim before she opened up her daycare every morning. And she wouldn't eat junk food. And there was one day I had some M&Ms, and I offered her one, and she said, "No, if I eat just one, I'm going to have to walk the length of a football field to burn that calorie off." And I was like, okay. Meanwhile, I would walk with the bag of M&Ms down that football field, and I would be like, yep, burning my calories. Here we go. You find out what's important to them. Then there are those that live mentally healthy lifestyles, and they'll tell you about their journey of becoming mentally strong. See, our life should reflect God. We should desire to live a spiritually healthy lifestyle that is always magnifying Jesus. So let's look at our growth work this morning. Number one, we need to develop spiritual disciplines. If we want to be better at anything, you name it. You want to be a better cook, you need to cook. If you want to be better, you're going to have to work on being better at that thing. And if I want to grow spiritually, then I need to make sure that I'm doing the things that will help me grow spiritually. And so we need to learn to spend time in God's presence each day. Start your day off in prayer and reading the Bible. Ask God to give you the strength to help you have patience with your children, with your coworkers, as you drive to work with all those other people that are trying to make it to work on time, and they're driving recklessly because they left late. We're 2 weeks into the year, and I want to encourage you, start spiritual disciplines, reading your Bible, praying. Read your Bible this year. Read through it the entire year. And maybe you haven't made reading the Bible a priority in your life. Maybe you haven't picked up the Bible in a long time and it's collected a lot of dust. Then start realistically. Just say, you know what? I'm going to give 5 minutes, and I'm just going to read for 5 minutes. Set a timer, and when that 5 minutes goes off, stop. You say, why just 5 minutes? Because if you're not reading, start somewhere realistically. And I guarantee, the more time you spend with God, the more time you're reading, the more time you're talking to Him, the more you're going to want to spend in His presence, because that's just who God is. The more you're with Him, the more you're going to want to be with Him. The more I'm with Jeanette, the more I want to be with her. She pushes me away. You're too much sometimes. But that's because I love her. And the more I want to be with God, the more I spend with Him, the more I'm going to want to be with Him. And so learn spiritual disciplines, reading, praying, fasting, giving. And as you do, you'll find yourself loving God, growing closer to Him, and putting on those godly traits that He wants you to put on. Second, experience God's joy. Like Eric Little, look to find something that when you do it, you experience God's pleasure. Whatever it is, God has gifted you with talents, gifts, for a reason. And when you use those gifts and talents, and you're blessing others, whether it's bringing a homemade meal to a family, or working on a broken down car for a neighbor, or shoveling a driveway and a sidewalk during the Michigan winters for your neighbors. Use your gifts and talents. Use them to bless others. God has given them to you. Honor God with your life. And when you honor Him, you bring Him glory. And every time you do, you will experience His pleasure, His joy in your life. And then finally, celebrate God's presence. Sundays and Wednesdays are a wonderful time to gather together and worship and celebrate God. It's a great time to gather and worship together, but develop a continuous awareness of God in your life. The other day, Brayden couldn't find his keys, and so we looked everywhere. We looked, we retraced his steps, couldn't find him. And the next morning, I wasn't thinking about it at all, but all of a sudden, I just had this thought. His keys are in the couch cushions. And I walked to the couch, pulled up a cushion, and there they were. I didn't think about it. That thought did not come from me. It came from God. And I just stopped and I said, God, thank you. Thank you. They weren't my keys, they were Braden's. But God, thank you. Thank you for your presence in my life. Thank you for speaking to me. Thank you that you are God who loves us and cares about us, even about little keys. God wants to be a part of your life. Enjoy his presence. Learn to be mindful of his presence in every part of your life. And when you focus on him, you'll find yourself loving him more and wanting to be in his presence. And when we celebrate God's presence, we magnify him in our life. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you that you aren't a God who stands off afar, but you are personable. You love us so much that you sent Christ to die for us so that we can have that relationship. You want to speak to us, and you want to hear from us. And so, God, I pray, help us to be healthy. God, not just in our body and soul, but in our spirit as well. God, may we understand that our identity comes from you and you alone. And help us to put on those godly characteristics, those traits that you have for us, so that we can glorify you in all that we do. With heads bowed and no one looking around this morning, you may find yourself away from God. You haven't been magnifying him in your life. But this morning, you want to change that. You want to invite Jesus into your life. You've been trying to do it on your own and you just can't. It's time to surrender your life and trust that he has a plan for you. And so you just simply pray with me. Jesus, thank you for loving me and dying for me. And though I don't understand everything, I do know I need you in my life. And so I ask you to come and forgive me of my sins. Make me a new person. Help me to take off all the old and put on the new that you have for me. Help me to live for you each and every day of my life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me and you're here today, we have a gift we'd be glad to give to you. If you go to the crossing, just ask for that book. We'll be glad to give it to you. It's going to help you to understand who God is and what he wants to do in your life. And if you are watching online and you prayed that prayer as well, will you email us at info@woodland.church? We'd be glad to send it to you as well. And we want to be praying for you as well. And so let us know if you made that decision. Well, will you stand with me this morning as we prepare to be dismissed? I want to read this blessing to you from 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, may God himself, the one who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole. May he put you together, spirit, soul, and body. and keep you fit for the coming of our Master Jesus Christ. For the one who called you is completely dependable. And if he said it, he's going to do it. God bless you. Make sure you join us this Wednesday for our midweek service. We want to see you. But God bless you. Have a wonderful week. You're dismissed.